Hello, friends. Welcome back to Ephesians 3. This is the B-side. A couple extras we didn't have time for. Thanks for coming back to catch the bonus with me. Today's chapter was about roots and fruits and the incredible love of Jesus Christ beyond all measure. Victor Hugo wrote in his brilliant Les Miserables, "Love is the foolishness of men and the wisdom of God." Phenomenal story, by the way. Les Miserables is, in my book, the greatest Christian allegory ever told. If you've seen it and you missed the allegory, please watch it again with new eyes. Jean Valjean is a criminal whose life is saved by grace, the grace of the old bishop, given to Valjean in the very midst of his sin, stealing the candlesticks. After he experiences grace, Valjean is a changed man, redeemed. Inspector Javert is a powerful picture of the law and legalism. Javert just can't understand redemption. I didn't even mean to get sidetracked on it, but it's so good. I actually like the dramatic version better, 1999, Liam Neeson, Jeffrey Rush, Uma Thurman. Go find it. Now, where was I? Oh yes, love. God's love. Sorry, got a little distracted. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And here in Ephesians 3, I love the picture in verse 17 as Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And he prays that you, being rooted and established in love, the roots, remember, water the roots, not the fruit. If you want the fruit to be love, then dig your roots into love. And you know what makes great fertilizer, spiritually speaking? There's a funny little verse in Philippians 3. Where Paul compares all the accomplishments and accolades he achieved when he was trying to earn salvation with the simplicity of knowing Christ. Paul says, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." So Paul says he considers all those old works, all the stuff that he took pride in, the stuff that made him feel holier than thou, he considers it garbage. That's a gentle translation for a word that really means dung, as in animal waste. And the funny thing about dung, even though it smells terrible, it makes great fertilizer. And the same is true of my pride, yours too. All the stuff that we think makes us better than others, our judgmental, self-righteous works. Dung it. Hold on to it and you'll stink. Toss it out and it's great fertilizer to help love grow. Back here in Ephesians 3, at verse 17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." To know this love. How can you know a love that surpasses knowledge? Well, you have to experience it. Read the Gospels. Watch Jesus serve, sacrifice, give, and treat people with dignity and love. And listen to people's stories. Ask them. I dare you to ask 5 people how Jesus has loved them in their life and listen to their story. And watch how Christians love others. I know many don't, but pay attention to the ones that do. In 2nd century Rome, when Christians were heavily persecuted for their faith, Tertullian recorded that Romans would say of the Christians, "See how they love one another." And watch what happens when you pray and make room in your heart to let Jesus love others through you. As you lay down all that pride in your heart, you may be surprised how much space opens up to let love in. But don't just hold it, let it flow. A pond can only hold so many gallons, but an open river will experience an endless flow. So open your heart and let Jesus love through you. Which gives us the perfect transition into the second half of Ephesians. The first 3 chapters are all about how God has loved you. The next 3 are all about you passing it on. Jesus' love is not just a one-way thing between you and Jesus. It always expresses itself in your relationships. And for that, one last word picture. as we consider what it means to be rooted and established, I can't help but think of the big trees. Here in California, we have the tallest trees in the world, the Sequoia Redwoods. I love them. They grow well past 300 feet tall and stand towering above the earth for centuries without falling. Some of them are more than 2,000 years old. Just imagine the storms they've seen and stood through. But did you know that their roots grow only about 10 feet down? As an engineer, that's insane. How do they stay up? How have they survived the worst storms that the California coast can offer for centuries? Their secret? Their roots don't go deep. They go together. Sequoia roots go down 10 feet or so, then out to the side more than 100, and they all wrap up and tangle around the roots of all the other trees. In other words, they all hold each other up. And that's how the world's tallest trees stay up for centuries. That's some pretty clever engineering, and not a bad idea for us. So, what about us? Are we rooted and established in the love of Christ? And are we rooted together? In the next three chapters, we'll see how that works. Thanks again for joining me on Side B. You guys are my favorite. Now, don't tell the A-siders I said that. They think I don't have favorites. Silly A-siders.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.